You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to my couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And today, a great show as usual. I'll be answering some of your questions, which focus on wanting to know the psychological spin behind some of the current newsmakers. And I'll also be answering your emails. You can ask me for help on how to cope with certain relationship issues you're having, as we usually do at this time on Fridays. Any other questions or comments? Love to hear from you. Call me 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Or, of course, if you're shy and you don't want your voice on the air, you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's doc, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's. I spell my name at aol.com. So let's jump into it. Lots of things going on in the news. A couple of stories that have been going on for almost a month now. Jocelyn in Los Angeles emailed me this morning. And she said, can you tell me more about the, quote, insanity defense going on? Because I'm concerned about George Zimmerman. Is he really going to get away with this? Well, thank you for your email, Jocelyn. As you remember, George Zimmerman was given a second-degree murder charge. That was back on April 11th in the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. And, of course, that happened on February 26th. And this morning, a judge granted Zimmerman bond for $150,000. But he must wear an electronic monitoring device. Now, during his testimony, Zimmerman apologized to the Martin family as well. I don't know if you heard about that. But here's the deal. As you've been following the story, he told Sanford police, it was the Sanford police, that he shot the unarmed Martin in self-defense during a fight. And we've supposedly seen a little bit of the physical evidence and maybe not much physical evidence, and nobody really saw what was going on. We have witnesses who say they saw what was going on, and others have different opinions of what they saw. And, of course, Zimmerman's family is supporting him and expressing what they feel. And, of course, Trayvon's family is deeply mourning his passing and having a rough time with it all. So what Jocelyn is referring to, I think, is that second-degree murder is typically used for the heat of passion or spur of the moment, they call it, in the middle of a fight, defense. And Jocelyn, heat of passion refers to a legal defense argument when a person wants to argue that his or her actions were provoked and accompanied by intense feelings that caused him or her to lose control. More men, usually, than women commit this crime. Doing so may help reduce a person's criminal charges or sentence. So, in a criminal case like this, I just want to share this information with you, Jocelyn, that I know that it's really important to figure out a person's state of mind. So what's going to happen is prosecutors will likely take apart Zimmerman's past behaviors, and then they'll review the physical evidence. So they'll say he was prone to violence in the past, or he was prone to anger in the past, or he has harmed certain individuals. They're going to find people coming out of the woodwork, the prosecutors will, who say that Zimmerman roughed them up or had attitudes or was cruel or had a propensity towards violence. So that's what the prosecutors will say. The defendants will say that this was, again, second-degree murder due to passion, spur of the moment, in the middle of a fight. The insanity defense. Temporary insanity, is there such thing? Yes, sure, of course. Now, in my practice, I've been subpoenaed to give my opinion on clients. One in particular who I'm thinking of, who I worked with. Now, he was claiming that he had temporary insanity and violently beat up another man because he said his victim raped his sister. So he was furious. And he was in the heat of it and beat this guy up. Now, prosecutors claim that due to the fact that my patient had a pre-existing mental condition, which I had to reveal because of my subpoena in a courtroom, that included angry outbreaks in the past. He had a propensity towards anger, a mood disorder, which made him manic sometimes, that this was not the case. It was not in the heat of passion, but rather premeditated and planned. They said he knew the guy, he stalked him, he had planned to beat him up, beat him to a pulp, and that, no, this was not temporary insanity, this was premeditated. And the big deal here, Jocelyn, is the guy had pre-existing conditions. That's what they base a lot of this stuff on. Now, I'm not sure at all if Zimmerman had any kind of pre-existing mental condition, but again, it may be a lot of witnesses or people who've dealt with him in the past word, you know, against other people who have had experiences with him where he shows violent rage or he's defensive and angry a lot or has acted inappropriately to individuals. So that's what it's going to be all about, okay? Because it just doesn't seem like we have enough viable observers in this case. So that's the way it is. So yes, Jocelyn, there is such a thing as temporary insanity. There is such a thing as blind rage. Yeah, you literally, people have gone blind. They cannot cope with what's going on. And it's almost like the fight or flight syndrome in our brains that we have from when we became Homo sapiens and before. Fight or flight. What are you going to do? Run from the wild tiger that's chasing you? Or are you going to get your spear and fight him? But in the fight syndrome, you go crazy because it's a matter of survival. And that's what the defendants are going to say probably in this case. He was surviving an attack upon him, supposedly. So that's the way it usually goes. People aren't thinking about what they've done at the time, right? They've hurt or killed someone, and supposedly then when they calm down, they realize that they had no control. Did I do that? Some people say they black out, right? That's been a defense in a lot of murders. I blacked out because I didn't know what I was doing. So it'll be up to the jury to determine if he's guilty or innocent or whatever. So that's the way it usually is. But that is a common defense. I blacked out. I didn't know what I was doing. And then they also sometimes have to go into medications someone was using. It doesn't have to even be a medication to say, oh, that was a mental disorder medication. No, you know, people have certain allergic reactions. I mean, they bring up all this stuff to certain kinds of medications or other disorders, diseases, something that they may be allergic to that really can cause them temporary insanity. It's very rare. But that's the answer to that, Jocelyn. I have no idea if Zimmerman is really going to get away with this. My suspicion is no. No. But I'm just saying, that's what the insanity defense usually is all about. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me. If you'd like to email me at DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com, DocMichelle at AOL.com. You can do so instantaneously. If you have a question about, right now we're discussing newsmakers, things going on in current news, things that have been happening. Personality profiles, what do I think about certain insanity defenses, things like that. Or you can call me live on the air here. The number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. This next email I received is from James. And I love this email because it's really fascinating. A lot of people fly for business. He says, Doc, I do a lot of flying for business, and I'm worried that I might get on a plane with a pilot like Clayton Osborne and not be as lucky as those passengers. Can you tell me what happened to him psychologically and how airlines can prevent that from happening in the future? Well, I hear you, James. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Get on a plane and the pilot goes berserk? Thank you for emailing me, by the way. Clayton Osborne, for those of you who are saying, huh, who? Remember, he's the JetBlue pilot. He had to be wrestled to the floor by crew and passengers on that March 27 flight. That was going from New York to Las Vegas. And now Clayton has been indicted in a federal court in Texas. He's under psychiatric investigation. You think? He's still in custody, by the way. Now, the court document says that Osborne, quote, did knowingly and willingly interfere with the performance of the duties of a flight crew, and that he moved through the aircraft and was disruptive and had to be subdued and forcibly restrained from reentering the cockpit. Now, in terms of his psychological state, the flight crew said that he was yelling while he was in the cockpit before he flailed his body out of there about subjects like religion. He was talking about how the terrorists are going to get us and are going to take over the plane. You know, he was talking about the type of things that had to do with the end of the world. And he was flailing his arms, like I said, and literally the crew and passengers had to wrestle him to the ground. Thank goodness the plane landed safely. Everybody was cool, but really scared. The indictment says, quote, there is reason to believe Osborne may presently be suffering from a mental disease, rendering him mentally incompetent. Okay. What looks to me like a psychotic episode is probably the truth. Now, there's different causes of that sometimes. The reason why I don't think you have to worry about flying, James, is this is a really rare case. I don't know when we've heard of this in a long time. But the FAA establishes mental standards for first-class airmen. It's a first-class airman certificate. And the pilot, before going on a commercial airline, has to have no medical history or clinical diagnosis of a personality disorder that is severe enough to have repeatedly manifested itself by overt acts. Now, there are a lot of personality disorders, oh my goodness, such as borderline, antisocial personality disorder, people whose conduct is not usually under control. There's usually another diagnosis that goes along with that. Or they cannot have a psychosis where the individual has manifested delusions, hallucinations, grossly bizarre or disorganized behavior. They cannot have a bipolar disorder either in the past. So, what they're going to look at is his history. You see? I want you to know that the FAA is taking pilots who do use antidepressants now. Okay? The old policy of not allowing them to take these meds stemmed in part from concerns over possible side effects of some of those antidepressants. But the newer antidepressants have a lot fewer side effects. So the FAA administrator, Randy Babbitt, I was just reading this, he said some pilots with depression likely were not being treated or were doing so in secret out of fear of losing their jobs. But we all get depressed. We want a pilot who is flying our jet to not be depressed and not have sleep issues, not have a mood disorder, which usually comes with a lot of major depression. So we want somebody to be on their game. So indeed, if the effects of an antidepressant are not that extreme, they'll let pilots now use that. What my concern is that Osborne may have kept his bipolar disorder on the down low in his past history, as many people do. Many people who have bipolar disorder can manage it. They manage it throughout the years with antidepressants or alcohol or weed or tranquilizers they can get. But you can't do any of this stuff if you're a pilot. But I don't know how he managed to slip through self-medicating himself if he did, if he had manic episodes. But he could slip through if he were on antidepressants. Most folks with bipolar disorder use mood stabilizers or the tranquilizers. It kind of manages the manic or even psychotic episodes. And what they do is they use the antidepressants to manage the corresponding depressive episodes. So the manic episode where you're up and angry, in most cases with men who have bipolar 1, there's a lot of anger and aggression going on, and euphoria as well. But the mood stabilizers manage that kind of psychotic episode. And then the antidepressants manage the depression within bipolar. So he could have had a manic swing coming on, and he may have taken a higher dose of antidepressants, which can bring on a manic episode. Okay? You have to be monitored, though. Pilots who are on antidepressants, they have to be examined by an aviation medical examiner. I think it's like every 6 months to a year or something to be recertified. And they are required to disclose what medications they're taking. And some pilots, I would think, as many individuals who are in companies who have to disclose medications, if they're in services where they have to take people's lives into their own hands, they may lie on a form. And it's considered a federal offense. So if he lied about his medication that he was taking, he could get in trouble. Now, here's another possibility. When I saw the videos, actually, of Clayton Osborne, I said, oh, the guy had a manic episode, but how did he get to be a pilot? He's having a little bit of a psychotic episode. It's that circumstantial speech where you're talking 100 miles an hour and you're not stopping, and you're going on and on about delusions, religion, and the God is going to save us, and the terrorists are here on the plane, and we're all going to die, and the end of the world is coming, and all that stuff. I thought, yep, that's psychosis right there. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, don't rule out some of the other things that might be going on with old George. Extreme changes in energy and activity and sleep and behavior, you know, might be changed by different medications. So he could have used some kind of amphetamine. You know, the caffeine keeping him up. Some pilots who don't have sleep and they have to get up, get going, fly the plane, may take amphetamines to keep them awake. And that can really kind of knock you off your rocker. Also, if you use anything like PCP, I don't think he would be using those kinds of drugs, hallucinogens, LSD, or even cocaine. If he was recreationally using cocaine, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't tested in enough time, and he was using some kind of speed before he got into the cockpit, and they didn't test him in time. I don't know. By the way, just a side note, I want you guys to know that a psychotic episode can also be caused by certain diseases, like AIDS, or mumps, even mumps. If you never had it and you've got it, you can get delirious. Now, I think he would be feeling horrible and indicating that he was quite sick. And that would have been a clue to everybody else. Also, malaria. And where do you get that? You get that sometimes from traveling. You need your shots, though. You need to get prepared for that. And I'm sure he did as well. So that's my take on it, James. And I really thank you for emailing me. Don't be worried about another pilot flipping out. This is a really rare occurrence. This is what I believe. I think it's a very rare occurrence. I'm feeling that he might have kept his bipolar disorder on the down low. And that he managed it with antidepressants. And also, as many people do, who have mood swings, they drink. Or they smoke pot. Or smoke weed. Or cannabis. Or whatever. Kind of helps. So that's management of anxious symptoms and things like that. So that's what could be going on. What's interesting to me is that George slipped by the FAA for all these years. And I think what's going to happen is that it's going to come out sooner or later that George did have some kind of mental breakdown. I don't know if he's going to have a defense saying that he had a mental breakdown due to lack of sleep or stress in his life or whatever. But that's very rare when you are psychotic, when you start flipping out and doing the circumstantial speech and talking about, you know, God and hellfire, brimstone, we're all going to hell and we're all doomed and flipping out and all that. But I wish him well, and I hope that he gets on medications which might help him. He's never going to fly again, that's for sure. But I do wish him well. And thank you, James, for your email. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me, and you can call me if you have a question about any news events going on, newsmakers. You can email me as well. The number to call here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or you can email me, and that email address is docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. I spell my name with two L's, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or concerns, as James did, about should he fly again or feel scared, because apparently he flies the JetBlue planes a lot in his business, and he doesn't want the pilot flipping out on him. So I respect that. All right, this is also the time that you can email me if you like about any relationship issues going on in your life, some personal questions you may have to work through something. I'll be happy to help you out. Do remember that I do not give therapy over the air here, but I do give suggestions that might help you, and also referrals that may in some way be helpful to you for your specific need. So you can call me again at 323-203-0815. I have a really interesting email I received from Brandon. And he says, Dr. Michelle, I'm a 23-year-old single guy who has a good job. The problem is that I really care deeply for two women. It's really hard to choose between the two. I have been waiting to see whether time can tell who I was falling in love with. It didn't work. Both women are beautiful, interesting, smart, and fun to be with. Now, I know a lot of men out there are going, share the wealth! Brandon says, the sex with both of them is great. The problem is that they also don't know that I'm seeing the other person. Oh, you little sneaky devil, Brandon. He says, when I started being with one of the women more than the other, I missed the other. I hate this cycle because I want to know which one I love more. It's irritating not to know who I really like. I need a solution because one of them seems to have started becoming interested in another guy. And this is making me jealous. What should I do? Oh, boy. Brandon. Well, you know what? If you can't make up your mind, then I'd say take your time. But it's not cool to deceive. It's really hard when you love two women. It's difficult to choose, but I think you've got to choose. Because it's time. It's, you know, you can't have the two of them because no woman wants to share her man with another woman. Unless she doesn't really care for you and it's all about sex. So most women who are in relationships want exclusivity. And men do too, usually. But see, what's happening is you're getting jealous because one of them may be going out with somebody else. That's a sign that you want her only for yourself. I think. Unless you're a narcissist with a big ego. And the moment she looks the other way, it's challenging to you and you need it. So I kind of think that you want to make a choice. You've got to do this, though, because if you continue being with both, they're going to figure out what's going on because you're going to be unavailable. I don't know how close they are in proximity. Right? I don't know how close you are in proximity in terms of being seen out in public with one of the other women. You might be busted if you're out in a local restaurant and the other woman is, who you're dating and having sex with is in the area, or somebody who knows her sees you out with another woman. Busted! On the other hand, Brandon, you might be getting a thrill out of cutting it closely. There are some guys that do that. Some women that do that, too. It's exciting! You might get caught. And if you do, they'll both end up dumping you. So, you better look inside yourself and figure out who you love the most. If you stay indecisive, you're going to get busted. It's only a matter of time. You're going to get caught. Can't lie. And if you're that good of a liar and you can keep both of them apart and keep your emotions separated like that, then you do deserve to get dumped by both of them. You can't love exactly the same way. You can't love each woman exactly the same way. Everybody has their own individual characteristics, things to really love them for, characteristics they display that are wonderful. Write down one column, what you like and love about one person and what you like and love about the other person. And figure out what's more important to you. What characteristics in both women are most important to you? They're not exactly alike. So play it right. Get honest. And, you know, it concerns me a little bit about your mental state, Brandon, in a way that you can deceive so easily. Now, this is bothering you, obviously, or you wouldn't have emailed me. But what's bothering me more is that you don't know which one to be with, and not the fact that your conscience is bothering you. You know what I'm saying? It's more about you. The sex with both of them is great. Both are beautiful and interesting and smart. Fun to be with. It's all about you, kind of. So, and then you're jealous of this other woman because she's sort of showing interest in somebody else and she's kind of moving away, possibly. Maybe she's not the one for you. But that's what concerns me about you. But you better get it right and be honest, Brandon, soon. I'm just saying, probably going to get busted. Alrighty, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are. On Friday, we are today checking out relationship issues, talking about newsmakers. If you'd like to email me, you can do so at 323-203-0815. If you are shy and you would rather, like I said, email me, you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle with two L's at aol.com. If you don't want to get your voice on the phone, live on the air at 323-203-0815. 800-516-0815. A lot of emailers coming in today. And that's fine. No problem. I don't have an issue with that. Let's move on. I'm 35 years old, and my husband and I have been together for 15 years. This comes from Janie. Janie! But the problem is that my husband is jealous of everything I do without him. He hates me going out with friends. He gets really mad and argues with me for days after. I have never cheated on my husband, but he says he is too tired to do stuff, even one day a week after work, and usually on the weekends. So I go to the movies, dinner, or have drinks with girlfriends or the gang from work. He never asks if I have enjoyed my evening. He just argues. When I go out with some of the women I work with, which is only about twice a month, he freaks out when I come home. I also have a good female friend who is gay. The plot thickens. And my husband says he hates it whenever I get together with her. When I do rarely visit her, he gets in a sulky mood and has accused me of having an affair with her, or that I might be interested in her. I am not gay. We are just friends. I cannot invite her to my house because you can imagine the kind of reception she would get from my husband. As far as my husband is concerned, I run around with my friends, flirt, get drunk, leave him alone at home. These are his words, not mine. But I do not come home drunk. I do not drink and drive. He is only a few years older than me, but you would think he's my father. This has only happened since I've had the job in the past 3 years. Well, that's because you're going out with your colleagues at work, probably more often. And so he's really worried about you. What's concerned me is that he's very tired a lot. I don't know what that's about. I know he works, it sounds like, a lot. And he says he's pooped to do anything on the weeknights. And you're not. He's not that much older than you. I don't know how old you are. 35 years old. Okay, so you guys are young, still have energy, but he's just kind of a lazy, kind of homebody kind of guy. After he gets off work, he wants to come home and chill, probably. And you're the kind of person who likes to get out and socialize more. So you guys have to work this one out. You know, if you really look back at it, you may find that his jealousy was always there. Do you remember that, Janie? I see that you've been with him for about 15 years here. And if you were writing to me as a lady in her 20s, like in an early marriage or something, I would be saying this is kind of gloomy. But I think that your man might be prepared to change. I mean, there's something about your work and your new friends at work for the past 3 years that you've connected with that he is feeling jealous of or threatened by. They're taking you away from him. So I don't think you want to leave this relationship. It's just you need to in some way assure him. You know, people who are jealous sometimes, they have low self-esteem, of course. Maybe he's feeling threatened at his job. Maybe he does have low energy. Maybe he should go to a doctor and check himself out physically to find out if there is really something wrong with him physiologically. Because of the low energy going on. He's not that old. He's young. So, who knows? And yes, we all get pooped from all day at work. We all get tired. We all want to chill out and watch TV or have dinner, sit down, talk, play a video game. Guys. or something like that. But what I do is go see a marriage counselor. And I would, definitely make sure that this person is healthy as well. And you sit down and in some way you need to reassure your husband that he's not going to be cheating on you or hurting you in any way, because that's not going to help. You know, we have a caller on the line. Hi, this is Dr. Michelle and you're on the couch. Who's this? Hello. All right, lost call. Give me a call back if you'd like. That's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 is the number. And I hope I helped, Janie. Go see a counselor with your husband so he can work through his jealousy issues. You guys should probably do that together. Because so you being in the room with a couples therapist or a psychologist who specializes in relationships can share your concerns with that person. And that person can, keeping you both on the same page, sort of figure out and share with you what might be an appropriate jealousy on his part. And might also tell you, Janie, things that you have to say to your husband to reassure him that you're not cheating on him. But just say, I really enjoy getting out and socializing. You know, like you said, you're not coming home intoxicated, hopefully, or anything like that. And you said you're not cheating on him. You'd never cheat on him. So, you know, those are just some suggestions that I would do if I were you. Okay? Alrighty. If you'd like to give me a call live here, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Today is a free-for-all Friday. We're talking about certain newsmakers, and I'm sort of giving you opinions on what I see is going down in the news. We talked about George Zimmerman and his insanity defense that he will probably have by his attorneys, which is an interesting subject always. And we also talked about that JetBlue pilot. What is that? What's his name? George Osborne. Yeah, he's the JetBlue pilot who flipped out in the cockpit and seemed to have a psychotic event or psychosis of some kind. And they had to wrestle him to the floor. It's kind of a scary thing. Did you see a lot of the passengers on that plane coming off when they were being interviewed? Many people were crying. Very scary to see someone who has a psychotic event in front of you, especially who might have been piloting the plane you were in. Holy mackerel. All right. I have another email here, and I thank you so much. This is from another lady. I have a lot of ladies today emailing me. Looks like Sarah. Sarah. A couple of weeks ago, I heard you talk about how to fight fairly when in a relationship. My boyfriend and I seem to be coming from different worlds sometimes, and we get into nasty arguments. Can you help him? And also, can you help me understand how to manage these fights so we don't end up in a divorce or in a problem or anything like that? What I'm going to do, Sarah, is put you and your email on hold for a minute because we have a live caller and I want to get to this question here on the air. Afternoon, you're with Dr. Michelle on the couch. Hi, who's this?
Hi, doctor.
Hi.
My name's John.
Hi, John. How's it going?
I'm doing great. How
good.
Are you?
Good, good, good.
Good.
So
good.
You have a question?
I got a question for you.
Yep.
Do you think Tiger Woods has lost his, you know, mojo? I mean, I'm a Tiger fan for a long time, and ever since this whole thing happened with him, it just seems like he hasn't been able to get his groove back. And I'd like to know your analysis of that.
That's a great question. He didn't do too well, did he?
No.
Yeah. Are you a golf fan?
Yes, I love it.
All right. So what did you say? Did he lose his mojo, maybe?
Yeah, he lost his mojo. Yeah. I don't know. He's just a different man now.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem to be doing very, very well.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have been saying that because of the continuing rash of bad press and womanizing and all that, divorce issues going on, that, you know, he has kind of lost his skills. And he keeps saying in those interviews, you know, that he's not happy about his recent performance. All he keeps repeating, seemingly, is that I got to keep working on my swing. I got to keep practicing. I've got to keep focused. I've got to keep practicing. But,
yep.
You know, a lot of people are saying that maybe he did lose, as you said, his mojo. But I'll tell you what that says about him that might be a good thing. Okay, some people are saying,
okay.
All right,
something good.
There's something good about this. He may have lost his mojo because of all the publicity that's negative going on around him due to a conscience. And the good news is that if he was a narcissist, you see?
Yeah.
Narcissistic people, people who are defined as having a narcissistic personality disorder or, you know, the antisocial folks, those kind of folks. If you have a conscience, you do not usually fit under that category. People who are narcissistic and don't care and it's all about me and they go out and they're promiscuous and they cheat and they lie and they, you know, have affairs. They don't have a conscience. They just keep rocking and doing it as much as they can. But the fact that seemingly his performance is affected and has been affected. I mean, he's had some really good stuff going on since the scandal broke out. But for the most part, it's not. He's not the same guy like you said he was. So that means he may not be a narcissistic guy if his conscience is getting to him.
Interesting.
You know, he just...
Interesting take.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something that I have been feeling and thinking about, you know, after the Masters. You know,
I think he needs to talk to you, Doctor.
I do too.
Well, he needs to be a Dr. Michelle fan.
There you go. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, he might just be a horny guy exposed to a lot of women in his travels, as many superstars are. You know, they're following him. He goes into the nightclubs and he pays the hot women or the prostitutes or the call girls or whatever he does. And they're all out there. And they know he has money. And a lot of women who aren't about money are just going to be hanging on him. He's a good-looking guy and he's a superstar. So, I mean, most guys, they're men. A lot of guys exposed to that will not hold back. They're going to go for it. There's sex being thrown at him, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, do you know a lot of guys who would do the same thing?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity.
Right.
Given the opportunity of superstardom and women just throwing themselves at you. Sure.
And then also when you're not in town a lot with the wife and family, you know, he's a horny guy.
A man has needs. A man has needs.
That's right. But that doesn't mean that he's got to cheat on his wife. Maybe his wife could have traveled with
him
a little bit more. That's why I suggest to a lot of men who are superstars, who are out there performing on stage or in sports, that their wives travel with them.
Yes.
Watch that man. Let the kids be with the nanny for a little bit, maybe at home, and travel with that guy and enjoy some of the parties afterwards.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on him. Because, you know, a lot of men do that. Like you said, a man has needs. I'm not saying all guys would do that. Would you do that?
No. Okay. No, I wouldn't.
Okay. Well, you're a good guy. So, you know, it's just the way it handles. You know, just the way it happens out there. So, again, most narcissists don't have a conscience. And if Tiger has a conscience and it's affecting his performance, then he's probably not a narcissist. He doesn't fit into that category. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully I helped.
Yeah.
All right.
You did. It was interesting. I like it.
All right. Thanks so much
for
calling.
All right, thanks, Doc.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right, that's a good call. I love that stuff. I want to get back to answering Sarah's question really fast. She asked me what I was talking about when I suggested that people can fight fairly when they're in a relationship. She says that her and her boyfriend are coming from different worlds sometimes. And she wants to know how to manage her fights so they don't end up hating each other. Sarah says, makeup sex is great, but I'm getting tired of some of the mean things he says to me when we're fighting. I'm feeling guilty for reacting to those things by trying to get back at him and being passive-aggressive. Aha, so you admit it, Sarah. Good for you, girl. So stop doing that. That's really destroying your relationship. So she says, what can I do about it? It's really normal for relationship partners to have different needs, you know, in several areas. You know, I don't know what your arguments are about, but don't sweat the small stuff. So... you know, I would say kindly, don't argue. You need to learn how to argue. Some of the basics are using I statements, telling your partner directly what you want or need. I would really love to spend some time with you tonight. Not accusing him or expecting him to be psychic and know already. If you really cared for me, you'd know what I want. Now, that's passive aggressive. So, Sarah, be direct. Say, honey, I love you. I want to be with you. Let's chill and just go out to a restaurant, have a glass of wine, or go to a movie. Set aside time to talk about some of these unresolved issues instead of momentary anger, angry outbursts, whatever. You know, you can use those I statements. I'm feeling uncomfortable about whenever we argue about this. Or, you know, can we sit down tomorrow night and just kind of talk this out so we don't have this interfering with our relationship all the time? Don't give them the silent treatment. No, that's passive aggressive again. So don't do that, Sarah. And you will have conflicts. We all have conflicts. You need to use assertive language. You know, not aggressive language. Assertive language. I feel this way when you do this. It hurts me. Do not name call. Do not intentionally call attention to his weaknesses or sensitive issues. Don't hit him below the belt. That's really cruel as well. Stay in the present. Don't go back to the past. A lot of people go back to the past. More women than men go back to the past. Remember back 5 years ago when you told me? Don't do that. Stay in the present. Just point out that there have been patterns in the past that indicate that you behave this way. And Sarah, if you need to talk to somebody, go find yourself online in your area, under your insurance policy or whatever, a specialist who can deal with what's going on with your present relationship, you know, a relationship expert. And because they know what they're talking about when it comes to arguing and issues like that. But I hope I helped you a little bit, Sarah. Fighting fairly is really a good thing. You can Google that as well. But like I said, you really might go to someone who specializes in helping couples who argue a lot. That way you can understand and hear what you're really saying. It's also good to tape record an argument that you may be having as well, because then you can really hear yourself and you can understand how strange and angry you sound. And it really gives you a perspective of how you're coming off to your partner as well. So there you have it. Well, this is Dr. Michelle, and it's been a pleasure having you on the couch today. It's about that time we wrap up. We have a hard break coming up with CBS News. As I always say, do have a wonderful day and take care of yourself first. See, then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. All right, we're talking next week about more great relationship issues. Love to have you. Take good care. You can stay on the couch if you'd like. More great shows coming up next on LA Talk Radio.